SBC. Welcome back to another week, folks, of the Hoolies Hoolie Radio Hour. This show, folks, is presented to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. Personal injury attorney Jim McGing here in Chicago. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Delicious.
And Tullamore Dew.
Also delicious.
My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to my left is twin brother Billy. He's
What's
back.
Up, guys? Good to be back.
Back this week. Yeah. And to the left of him, the greatest person in the world, Mr. Clayton O'Brien. Clay, hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Bill, I am so excited that you're back. Clay and I had a lovely conversation about positivity last week.
We
spoke about being nice to people and trying to, you know,
change the world.
Brighten your horizons. If you want to make yourself feel better, try to do something for somebody else or acknowledge their presence.
Sure.
Yeah. In these difficult times of stress and, you know, depression.
COVID.
Yeah. COVID.
Just COVID, man.
Yeah.
Taste the rainbow.
Taste the rainbow. COVID. I don't think Skittles would approve. But Bill, you were on a fishing trip.
Was.
You're back now.
You got a burly beard.
You called in from the show from your sort of promise keepers meet that you had up there. And you had not much to report. You had just gotten up there and you were fishing.
Dude, it was so, like, there wasn't a lot to report because the weather just killed us.
For our listeners, once again, where were you?
I was in Winnicott, Wisconsin, which is about a half hour away from, 40 minutes away from, like, Door County.
Mm-hmm. Way up there.
It's a good-sized lake, and I don't know, we just didn't have any luck. I mean, the weather was just...
The fish weren't attracted to you.
Yeah, it just didn't work out.
I mean, we got some stuff. Like,
you didn't have any cat brains to fish with. You got to have those.
No.
Did you have cologne on?
I did not have any cologne on. No.
You did not?
No. I may have, like, well, I don't know.
You had a couple
maybe the first
dabs.
Night that I sprayed it before I left Chicago, yeah.
So no fish biting. So what? There's no fish biting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. There was no fish. Just the weather, no fish.
Okay, so like I felt
no stories to tell either.
We didn't have, unfortunately, there were lots of stories.
Well, give me one.
Well, it's always an interesting dynamic when you get, like, not all everybody that went on the trip. It's not like we all knew each other really well.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So,
right.
I mean, it's like me, like, I knew probably, like, one dude I grew up with, like, knew him from, you know, baseball and stuff like that.
Right.
We're friends, we share, but we're not as close, like, we're both closer friends to the one person we were up there with.
Sure.
You see what I get? Like,
yeah.
So, like, there's, and we still have a lot in common, that's fine.
Right.
Good hanging out with him, always a few laughs, right?
Yeah.
Then you have another one of your buddies who, like, you're also very close with. And then everybody else, like, I'm not. Like,
right.
There were, like, six other guys, I'm like, I don't really know these dudes that
well. Yeah,
random. And it was the same way for some of those other guys, too. So, like, the one person who organizes the trip, like, they're all friends with, really good friends with him.
Right.
Okay.
And then now it's gotten to the point where guys are kind of bringing their other buddy too, where it's like, I don't know this dude. Nobody knows.
They're broing off.
They're broing out.
They're broing off from the tree.
But the whole idea behind the trip is obviously that we're there to fish.
Yeah.
Like, we're here to fish.
This is some serious fishing.
There's nothing gay about this. We're here to fish.
That's right.
Now put your pants in the corner.
There was no, like, serious bonding or anything like that going
right,
on.
Right.
No,
it wasn't like Kairos.
No, it wasn't like it didn't get chirotic. It wasn't like the old Kairos.
It didn't get chirotic.
Remember that in high school when everyone started talking about, like, you'd be like, it's getting a little chirotic around here.
Oh yeah.
Well, we don't want to. We'll have to look up what the word Kairos means. I forget, but
it's Greek.
Is it Greek or Latin?
Fishing.
No, what a shame. We can't talk. We can't.
It's Greek for fishing. Fishing your feelings out.
Wow. My apologies to the Catholic community on our poor knowledge of Kairos.
No, I loved Kairos.
They're not listening.
I was a Kairos leader, man. I'm not knocking Kairos. It just did, you know, in high school, sometimes people would get a little chirotic and you'd have to tone
over the
down.
Top. Over the top.
You know, it's like, I didn't need to know that secret.
Okay.
You know?
So well, nobody got chirotic on the
Nobody
trip.
Got very chirotic.
Okay.
The Catholic community is not listening to
this. Did you guys go shopping together?
We did go on a shop.
Everybody?
No, me and a buddy of mine, we were just like, because some guys brought up their own food, and I rode up with him, and I was like, well, what's our, like, there was no set agenda, like, are we going to go out? Like, last year, we all got up there, and we went to the bar, like, immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the Bears were on foot, you know, Monday Night Football. No, yeah, it was Thursday Night Football. So the Bears were playing, and it was like a kind of a cool environment to be in, you know, Bears.
This is last
here.
Year, you mean?
Yes.
And now COVID struck. So everything's barren.
I wasn't drinking this year, so I've been off the sauce. So it's a little bit of a...
Oh, you kept that up
there.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a different
you
dynamic.
You make no exceptions.
Yes.
Yeah, other people are pounding booze in front of you.
Way more boredom.
lot more boredom.
a lot more boredom. Don't talk to me kind of feeling.
Some of that, too, where you're kind of just like, I'd rather just go off and do my own thing.
Yeah, you're too drunk now to talk.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
No, nobody really got like that because most of these guys, we were so discouraged by not getting any fish.
Yeah.
That it was like...
The fish were laughing
at you. Nothing to celebrate.
All the fish...
Yeah, it was like, all right, we're getting up at 5 now. We're getting up at 5:30 now to get these guys, to find them, you know?
They heard you.
And it didn't work, you know? And then we had boat problems, so we never got... And the water was too choppy, so we never had an opportunity to get out on the lake at all. Like, we were fishing off a pier and a dock.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is the fishing trip, you know? That was a bummer, and then you're not drinking, so you're like...
Yeah,
you know, White Sox.
You're just lighting.
Yes, watch the White Sox.
You know, and then
the
unfortunate collapse there.
Yeah. And then one cigarette off the other.
A lot of cigarette smoking. Yeah. Lots of that going on. The Cubs losing too for my buddies that were up there that are diehard Cub fans. Like it just put everybody in like a
bad mood.
You know, and I was like, you're not catching fish. Mm-hmm. Both Cubs and Sox lose.
The fish were celebrating, you know,
like,
though.
Was there any suggestions of, like, strip clubs or anything like that?
No, none of that. You know, these guys are married men, a lot of them. And then...
That doesn't stop many.
A couple guys went out to the bar. There's no strip clubs or anything like that. But there's a bar. There's, like, 4 bars in the town. And then at, like, the resort that we stay at, they own those bars. Like, there's, like, a guy who owns, like, everything.
It's a
like.
Conglomerate.
Right? Yeah. So those guys went up to the bar. 2 guys went up one night, and then
what's
the second
it called?
Wood Eyes is the name of one.
Right,
Wood Eyes,
and then another one is called Talk of the Town.
I was dancing all night at Wood Eyes last night. Yeah. 400 beers in me.
Got 3 DUIs in one
Packers
night.
Packers won. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, boy.
Yeah. there was a lot of that probably feeling going on up there. Packers are good this year, so.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're 4-0. Rodgers looks unbelievable.
This guy spends a weekend in Wisconsin. Next
he comes
thing you
back
know,
a Packers fan.
No, I'm not a Packers fan by any means.
He's handing out Kraft singles, telling us the Packers
true.
Are all right.
Yeah. So, no, you know, it was a downer weekend, you know, and then the Bears losing. You're like, come on.
Sox, Bears.
Cubs, no fish.
Bulls, no fish.
Hey, folks, it gets brighter.
It was a good time, though. I'm not going
to lie. Last week's show is all about positivity. Bill comes in and he goes, meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Put a dead fish right on the table.
Listen, I'm not quitting. We're going up again next year. There is going to be 1 year where I have a story where we caught
where you
like
catch 1,100 fish.
You know, like
200.
Well, here's what I want:
crossbow with you.
Whatever works,
son. One day we're gonna go up there and we're gonna catch 100 fish. 100.
Part of me felt like, you know, we should have just thrown like
said every Southern dad ever.
We should have just thrown like an M80 into the water.
Not just that in quotes, and those dash Southern dad.
Son, next year we're gonna catch us 200 fish.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna throw an M80 up in here,
And then a dissolve into son. Next year we're gonna catch 1,000 fish. Dissolve, yeah. Son. Next year I'm running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
Dissolve, son. I'm dropping the big one. That's nuts.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Wow. I do. Well, I speak of craziness. I did come in tonight with a special gift.
Yes, you did, man.
That was terrifying.
You've already seen. More importantly, Bill, I know this much. If you want to catch lots of fish next year,
sure.
Make sure you bring more oatmeal McCanns.
With share with
the
boys.
If we were eating the McCanns, we would have caught
if you guys
fish.
Were spoon-feeding oatmeal to each other.
No question about it. Yeah.
You would have had a nice time.
Yes, and you would have caught fish, and the Bears would have won, and the Sox would have won as well.
Yeah.
This show, folks, is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. More Hooli's Hooli returns after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family. Pick up or delivery. Or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million-dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by to Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Welcome back, folks.
Yeah.
Before the break, guys, I said that I had a little present that I had teased you guys with outside, and I'll let the radio folks know right now. It's a Vladimir Putin mask.
It's giant.
It is. I was on another. I'm having a lot of fun with it, by the way. I like the expression that he has. I'll take a look at it here.
Yeah.
Sorry, get off the mic there.
It's like he's winking.
Yeah, it's kind of like he's winking, like, hey, buddy, how
kind
are you?
Kind of a side tilt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I dig you. I understand.
Yes.
You know? But I was at Spirit Halloween. Another plug for them, boy. You know, they're getting a lot of free press. A lot of free press out of us this season. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
As they are with everybody. Mikey, my son, wanted to go take a look at the animatronics and see if they had any new ones. This is becoming like every day he wants to go there.
Yeah.
It's driving me. I've made
a mistake maybe by giving him a couple of those, and now he thinks that, hey, every day is toy day. It's killing me.
No.
But he wants to go there again, and we went, we looked around, and as I was...
You said it's Danny Stern.
Well, there was a Trump... Yeah. These are, folks, these masks are just flat. They look like a piece of foam, but they don't go over your entire head, per se. They're just a strap on the back of it. It's a real photograph of Putin. Yeah. It's a real photograph of Putin.
I wonder how much Putin makes off that.
It's Putin, not Putin.
How much was it?
It was on sale. The Putin was on sale. You mean yeah. Putin's on sale? I was going through Spirit with my son, and at the very end, as I was starting to get agitated after being there for about 30 minutes, I'm real bored of the place now.
Yeah, right? You know where everything is.
Right. I find myself like tinkering with like a plastic sword for a minute just to kill time. You know?
Oh, that's weird.
I'm becoming like Tom Hanks in Big, you know?
Let me go ahead and throw this Putin mask on.
Like, I look even more weird now. Like, look at Putin over there playing with the toy axe, you know? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Son, it's time to go. I've had too much spirit time.
Do you work here? No.
All right. Do you work here? No, I'm just hanging out.
That Spirit's rocking around this time of year.
It was more crowded than the last time I was there. Anyway, I'm going through. I see this on a shelf. It's actually on a rack. There was a Biden. There's a Trump. There's several Trumps. There's a Melania.
All right. Oh.
And there's no Kamala Harris. They probably didn't have that in production quick enough, right? But this was the, I'm
is
fishing
there a
through.
Hillary? Is there a Barack?
No,
is
no
there,
Hillary.
No. No Pelosi?
No Pelosi.
Bernie?
You mean they don't have a Pelosi mask?
They got a Bernie?
They got a Bernie, but you don't have a Pelosi? What kind of Spirit is this?
I thought I saw a Bernie at Spirit.
You gotta get the Pelosi online, sir.
Get the Schumer, get the Pelosi.
Right. Schumer and Pelosi only online.
Get guys from the other side.
Online only.
Online only.
Jordan, Gates.
Right.
Give me the Gates.
Anyway, I see this.
Give me the Gates. I know you got it in the back. You're saving it for yourself. Bring it out here, you weasel.
Which Gates?
Matt Gates.
Bill Gates.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you were talking about William Gates from Hoop Dreams.
All three of them.
Maybe
Bill Gates, William Gates from Hoop Dreams, and
no,
Matt Gates.
You said Jordan, and then you said Gates, and I was like, okay.
From Florida. I think he's from.
William Gates and Michael Jordan go together.
Lovely. I like where your head goes.
Yeah, sorry.
You went down the sports channel.
Yeah.
So $7.
Anyway, I see it. It's on sale for $7. The other ones are $19.99.
And Putin gets $5.
My son
that.
Mikey's like, why do you want that? You know, he's like, it's just a guy, you know?
Right.
I'm like, oh, no, this is...
It doesn't even have blood on
this
it.
This is gold, Mikey.
You'll understand when
that'll
you're
last
older.
For years.
I love when you go and purchase the Putin mask, you know, just kind of put it up there on the register. Like, I'm paying for a Putin mask.
Yeah, I'm paying for a Putin
Bill,
mask.
Bill, you had an interesting question. Did it say, when at the cash register, did it say Putin $7.99?
Do they say that? Like, is there a trademark on it, or does it just say, like, Russian guy?
No, do you...
Like, do they, like, if they said Putin, could Putin come after them and be like, I'm suing Spirit?
Bill's like Putin copyright lawyer is here.
Hi, I'm Bill Houlihan. I'm Vlad Putin's copyright lawyer. Can I see your permit for these masks?
Hello, Spirit. Bill Houlihan, Esquire. I'm the copyright attorney for the Soviet Union.
Which is no longer in service.
Vladimir Putin. I understand even manufacturing masks.
You don't have to forgive me. I didn't go to law school.
You'll have to forgive me. I just started, this all started by me fishing with my son one day.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
We want some money. That's not so. I bought the mask. I've had fun. I brought it home. My wife kind of snickered
at it. Do you have the receipt?
I don't think so. I think I threw it away.
And have you worn it anywhere else? Like... Just for laughs, like keep it in the car.
I wore it out here on Milwaukee Avenue for a moment and did a couple of bits for Clay.
A couple turns.
Yeah. That's what's fun. You get the mask. I find myself doing Putin bits, right?
Are you doing Putin stand up in your mirror?
Yes.
With a brush?
Well, I had.
Thanks for coming out, everybody.
Well, yeah. I wore this shirt. All right.
Yeah.
Folks, I have like a poplin, I think they call this.
Yeah, it's a poplin.
It's got some flowers on it. It's kind of loud. It's a little Mr. Furley-ish kind of shirt.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I pulled this out of the closet. I was like, I imagine this is like something Putin would wear to the club.
Okay, so now you're doing Putin club scenes?
I'm doing Putin, like late night Putin, you know, like kickback Putin, you know, kind of, hey everybody.
Hey, give me vodka tonic.
Right, Playboy TV with Vladimir Putin. How are you?
Put on Informer by Snow. That's my jam.
Wow, I haven't heard Snow in a long time.
We're gonna tonight.
Oh, maybe.
Thank you for
Informer.
I was talking about Putin. You guys throwing Snow.
He loves snow.
Yes, he does.
He's a big snow fan.
But I found myself, I'm doing Putin bits, and I got this shirt on.
And your family thinks you're nuts.
I'm doing Putin bits.
And you're laughing.
I'm laughing my ass off in the mirror.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, like, you know? I do that all the
time.
And
I'm saying the stupidest things, you know, like, God, I love Jimmy Fallon. You know, like.
Yeah. Bet you a nickel, I can race you.
Have you seen the new Nike
Pegasus? This crazy debate tonight. This is like a Hollywood popcorn film. It's nuts. I love it.
Bet you a nickel, you can dodge bullets.
Right. I've been listening a lot of Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack. You like it?
Right.
I like it. It's not Jan Hammer, but I really like Axel Foley's theme. I imagine myself as a Russian Axel Foley sometimes.
That's right.
But with a lot more money and power.
You corrected us on the Jan Hammer from a throwback a while ago.
Yeah, you have the text. I was looking for it earlier before I came in. I did, Clay. Your love for Jan Hammer.
Yes.
For our previous episodes, folks, if you want to find out about it, you can go to hibernianradio.org and get archives, and all of what we're talking about might make sense. Might not.
It's Harold Faltmeyer.
Who's that?
He's a German, but yeah.
He's a German.
He does the Axel F.
Yes,
which is the main soundtrack. Yeah,
no, that's Herbie Hancock. What am I thinking of?
I actually, you know,
we could probably play Axel F. Maybe
we can tease it if we
maybe
have
a little
Mike.
Snow, maybe a little Axel F.
This is the reason I sent you that text message was because Clay, I was sitting around in my car. I drove my daughter to gymnastics. She's in gymnastics.
Again. Oh boy.
Yeah, it's kind of it's making me nervous. Like, you know, trying flips and stuff like that. Where I'm like,
trying flips and such.
My daughter's trying flips and such. It's making me crazy, man.
I don't know who that was.
Yeah.
It was Boy George.
I don't know.
It was Boy. Yeah, sure, Boy George. Yeah. Mr. President Putin, my daughter's doing flips. It's making me crazy and stuff.
She's not actually my daughter.
Right.
No.
She's Russia's daughter.
She's England's daughter.
Anyway, I was taking my daughter to gymnastics. Yeah. I have about an hour to burn.
Yeah.
So I do throw a podcast on, and then Clay, I was listening to a previous episode. And we played the one where we played Jan Hammer.
Oh, beautiful.
And I thought to myself, and you had mentioned something about Beverly Hills Cop the week before.
And you gave credit to the wrong person.
And you said, I think he made some music. I think Jan Hammer did some music for that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did he? So I looked it up. And Bill, who is the guy? It's not Jan Hammer.
Yeah, it's a German guy.
Harold Faltmeyer.
I found myself so.
It's Harry Faltmeyer.
I drove around in my car for a full 45 minutes. Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
With this blaring. Can we get this for a minute, Mike? Is it pretty?
Oh,
You should have put the Putin mask on.
The great thing about this, Bill, was while my daughter goes to this gymnastics place, it's like in a real industrial part of town. So I'm driving down an alley that's old train tracks, you know? I feel like I'm Axel, you know?
Yeah.
And cranking this up, and I had it blaring when I picked Charlotte up, like with the windows down. I wonder whether I like doing that to other parents just to make them think I'm a little bit nuts.
Yeah.
But Charlotte appreciated it. She was like, oh yeah. You know, she's never even seen Beverly Hills Cop, but she knows because they play this at ballparks and stuff like that.
Who doesn't love Axel Foley?
You should have got out of the car with the Putin mask on and done a full like 360 spin.
Right.
And walked into the gymnastics center.
Putin's a character right out of Beverly Hills Cop 2.
He really is.
He absolutely is.
Or Die Hard. Like one of those movies.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Foley, I must crush you.
Yeah. Victor Meatland. Yeah, from part one, for sure. Reminds me a lot of Victor Meatland.
That's what Trump said to Putin when he first...
You remind me a ton of Victor Meatland from...
We're going to get along just fine.
Hollywood popcorn
I need to get a reference here from Mike. Victor Meatland, is he the art dealer in part one, or is he the horse track guy in part two? He's part one. The horse track guy is the other guy. Like, hello, Mr. Foley. He's another German.
Yes.
He's the one that's married to Bridget Nielsen in the movie.
That's a synopsis.
Putin fits into this music.
Yes, he does. He does. Well, that's our segment on Putin and Beverly Hills Cop 2, folks. Thanks for sticking with us.
Well, now that we're talking about music, we got to talk about...
Yeah, Eddie Van Halen.
Deceased.
A bummer, man. A rock god.
Giant.
Yeah, I got the... I heard about it yesterday at like probably around, I don't know, maybe like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, no way. And I was like, wow.
It's too bad.
65 years old. I believe it was it throat cancer?
It yes. was. Okay. Right here. This is from Too Much Zuck. Eddie Van Halen, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of Van Halen, has died after a long battle with cancer. Sources directly connected to the rock star tell us he died at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica Tuesday. His wife Janie was by his side, along with his son Wolfgang, his ex-wife Valerie Bertinelli, and Alex, Eddie's brother and drummer.
Mm.
We're told in the last 72 hours, Eddie's ongoing health battle went massively downhill. Doctors discovered his lung cancer had moved to his brain as well as to other organs. He had battled cancer for well over a decade, guys.
Right.
Wow. We knew that. We knew that he was sick. Yeah. And he had been out of the hospital for the last year. The guy was, I mean, this guy battled a lot. You know, what a tough guy. On top of just being a guitar player, never giving up, moving forward. This is an interesting thing, though. Last year, the site reported that Eddie was flying between the U.S. and Germany for 5 years to get radiation treatment. Though he was a heavy smoker for years, he believed he developed throat cancer from a metal guitar pick he used to frequently hold in his mouth more than 20 years ago.
Hmm.
Not the squares. Yeah. It's the guitar pick.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
You know?
Well, it's a sad passing. I mean... what an amazing a life that the guy had. I mean, we can get into David Lee Roth and Hagar. Everybody wants to bring in that to the Van Halen legacy.
Sure.
But you can't forget that the band's named for him and his brother.
Right.
Yeah. And I just remember when I first took guitar lessons, my guitar teacher was always like, one of the best guitar players in the world, Chris. Remember Chris?
Oh, yeah.
We've always talked about
many
Chris.
Many episodes back.
Yeah.
He lives in a van with a wolf painted on the side of it.
That's correct.
He would tell me that he was like, probably the greatest guitar player in the world is Eddie Van Halen, hands down. No doubt. You can say Clapton all those years, but it's Eddie V.
Yeah,
Satriani.
Like Satriani's, you know, he's a poet.
Yeah, okay.
That's interesting. Well, Satriani is a poet. Not a rock
guy. Eddie Van Halen, there would be no Satriani without Van Halen.
Correct. I think you're right.
But Van Halen, I mean, they are such a staple in rock and roll that, like, you could use Van Halen as an acronym for rock and roll. You can go be like, yeah, Van Halen, right? What kind of music like Van Halen? You know, oh, yeah, a lot of rock and roll. Yeah, I like Van Halen. You know?
Sound like Jay Leno.
Like I play Van Halen? Van Halen? Yeah, Van Halen. I love it.
Well, maybe we should have a tribute to Edward.
We do, and I have it queued up. Mike, it's Eruption, isn't it? Plus Janie's Crying. Because, Clay, you believe that those two must be played together.
Simultaneously, yes.
I think you're correct on that.
It's like We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same
vibe.
It's
like Putin and Axel F.
It's like Putin soft techno and Putin loud techno.
I love it. Let's do it. It's Eruption.
Yeah!
Wow.
Greatness right there.
Dude. Unreal.
Yeah, thank you, Edward, for all your magical guitar work.
Exactly, man. Just a rock god. I hope he's in heaven, you know?
He is.
Sure he is.
He's hanging out with Jimi Hendrix.
Yep. He's jamming.
Yeah, they're having a big old jam up there.
That's right.
Yep. Kirk Hammett from Metallica gave a quote about him. I just saw it quickly. It said that Eddie Van Halen blew open everyone's minds, meaning as a guitar player, he was like, they didn't, as a kid, you hadn't heard somebody do that yet. Eventually he did pave the way for, you know, heavy metal in a lot of ways, you know, and some of the harder stuff. But Eddie Van Halen was so eloquent in the way that he wrote as a composer that, like, that kind of stuff is just like, guitar players knew they were dealing with a genius when that guy showed up on the scene. So big rock.
Different level.
Different level, totally. Awesome.
And wasn't he married to Valerie Bertinelli?
He was.
He was. Yeah. Who's your favorite guitar player, Pat?
Really? I don't know, man. I don't. He was one of them for sure.
All right.
You know, I like Mark Knopfler a lot.
I'm sorry?
Mark Knopfler from Dire Straits.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of Knopfler's sound.
Billy?
I like guitar players that have their own sound. Like,
my favorite is Peter Townsend.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. I know him.
Yeah.
How about you, Clay?
You know, my all-time favorite, I have to say, probably Slash.
Yeah, there you go.
Slashy. Yeah. Oh, wow. And Mike likes, I can't read what he's... What,
Slowhand?
Slowhand EC.
Eric Clapton.
Oh, of course. Duh. Clapton.
There's also David Gilmour.
Look at you guys, so slow on the Eric Clapton joke. Jeez. Slowhand, it's a song, dummy.
Yeah, we got it. Thank you, Vlad.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Vlad.
Thanks, Vlad. Now, I got to ask you a question about
hashtag
this mask.
Thanks, Vlad.
Right.
Yeah. Does Charlotte, did your daughter know who
is there
is?
A hashtag thanks, Vlad?
I doubt it.
Hashtag thanks, Vlad.
Wasn't there, what was the big Obama
very
one?
Very sarcastic,
that
though.
Sorry, Obama? Is that what the big hashtag was? It was a big one?
Yeah.
There's money in that. There is money to be made in hashtag. Lots of money in the hashtags.
Yeah.
I own a company called hashtag.com. We've spoken about it in archive shows here.
Absolutely. Does Charlotte know who that person is?
Good question, Bill. Excuse me, folks. We don't have a cough button. Yes, Charlotte does know, but Mikey did not know. But I had to tell Charlotte right away. I was like, oh, it's Vladimir Putin. She's like, oh, yeah, from the president of Russia, right?
Yeah.
Mikey, on the other hand, was like, went right over his head. He doesn't even understand the concept of any of that, of politics
sure.
or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, of course.
But... It is. I do want to say that, like, when I was a kid, though, we all knew who Gorbachev was. We knew the name. We were like, Gorbachev.
Well, sure. The Cold
he was
War
everywhere.
Was going on.
Yeah, exactly. No, she didn't really know Putin, like, until I told her who it was.
Well, she does now.
Yeah, she's going to say, I know that guy. I grew up with him winking at me in my living room.
Are you are you planning on taking kids?
My dad used to wear that mask and talk to himself in the mirror.
You should hang that on your that on your front door.
Wouldn't that be a weird thing? Like you don't know who this guy is. You wake up in the middle of the night, your parent is downstairs with a few beers in him doing Putin bits in the mirror.
Trying on different clothes.
Right. Speaking with a Russian accent. Trying on different clothes.
You look good in the Bulls jersey, Vlad.
What a weird thing for a kid to see. Traumatic, I would say.
Or a thing of genius. Like a great set, like a great SNL bit.
Maybe so. Charlotte started taking improv classes.
Oh nice.
Yeah. Got her into that. And she likes it. And now she, even when I'll pick her up from the... After the improv class, we'll talk about it. We'll be like, how'd it go? You know? Right. What do you like? She's like, oh, there's a kid in the class who just goes, ha, 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 and laughs at everything, right?
Oh, it's terrible.
Every improv class has that guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do.
Typically, the improv teacher has to straighten that guy out, like, three or four classes in. Where, where they're like, we understand that you're finding it amusing, but please, you
tone
know,
it down,
settle yourself so we can progress forward in...
To the Herald.
In laughter.
In laughter?
Yes.
And yes. Yes ending. Right?
Yes.
You must, if you're going to be good at improv, you must be yes ending. Yes ending all day.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah. Yes ending.
If you want to be good at improv, you must be yes ending all day.
So I pick her up from improv. She takes it at a place in Oak Park. Ovations, it's called.
Oh.
Good little outfit. And I said, how do you like it? You know, and she said, there's that kid in the class who yells. I said, is he, you know, do you get along with him? You know, mm-hmm. I was like, he's just nervous. You know, that guy, it's, that guy's never like, if, when you first start off in an improv troupe like that, and you're, like, there's a little bit, of, people start having animosity towards a guy like that, right? And he's just, all he wants to do is make friends and be nice. You know?
Yeah.
He's just a little insecure, just laughing too much. A little, you know.
Sure.
It's like a kid that's wound up, you know, it's a little slap happy.
You got to set him straight.
Yeah. Right.
Say giggles.
No, I
mouth.
Said, Charlotte, you got it. I said, you should befriend that guy, you know, and just try to, you know, right. cool him out a little bit.
And if he keeps doing it, you mm-hmm. just take his t-shirt over his head and hockey style him. You know what I mean?
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, because then at a certain point, it's like.
Bill retorts to violence for everything.
You know what you should
Billy
do?
Madison.
You take that kid on a fishing trip and you hockey style him if you don't listen to that.
Right.
Yep.
And then you take him to the gun range.
Put a muskie in his pants.
Right. What a horrific thought.
You mean hockey styling a guy and then slamming a muskie down his pants?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
We've been hockey styling guys and putting muskies down their pants for many centuries. Thank you, Mr.
Since
President.
Since 2000 BC.
Since 2000 BC, Russia.
Is there a name for hockey styling and shoving a muskie down somebody's pants?
Like, Yashkata.
A yishkata?
Yes.
The yishkata move.
You know what, Charlotte? Next time you're in the class, you'd grab the kid. Yishkata! The end of it.
Say yishkata, get musky ready.
Then you guys can get back to freeze tag and yes-ending yourselves.
The key is have musky ready.
Right. For the yishkata to work correctly, musky must be ready.
In your hand when you make approach.
Right. And you yell yishkata as you do it.
Then you do hockey style punch and insert muskie.
Right. Hockey style punch, insert muskie?
Or bass.
Yes.
Any kind of lake fish.
Whatever's in season.
Must be lake fish.
That can't be an ocean fish.
For proper yishkata, the fish must come from a lake, not salt water.
Very important.
Right. We used to hunt vampires and buy yishkata in them. And it had to be lake water. That was the only way you could... Hockey style of empire. The muskie or the bass must be from fresh lake water. Fresh Russian lake water, which is hard to find.
A lot of people don't know that Putin used to hunt vampires when he was in high school.
Yeah. He performed yishkatas against vampires.
Him and his buddies.
That's how they found him. Gorby found him.
They'd have a bunch of Mountain Dew and go hunt vampires.
Some guy's like, we got a kid over here by the Russian lake. He's doing yishkatas to everybody.
Glad they found one.
He eradicated 400 vampires in Transylvania with the yishkata.
The summer of 70.
Wow. Back to improv class.
Yes.
That's how you do improv right there.
Right, there you go. There's an example. But anyway, I find myself, Charlotte and I will get in the car now.
Right.
Are you guys doing scenes?
Charlotte likes to play characters now. All right?
Yeah.
So she's like, she does a couple of characters for me, which I like. They're usually kind of like beauty pageant girls, like they're kind of Instagram models and they're kind of
Valley girls, we call them.
They're sort of vapid Instagram models, you know. I love that Charlotte has a grasp on that a little bit. You know, there's a part of her that like
she's into
following those girls. Like, you know, she's like she thinks they're pretty and stuff like that. But she also understands the absurdity of, you know, the medium, right? So I'll find her doing, you know, I'm like, you got to do a Charli D'Amelio impression or like start. But it's fun watching her brain work now. This is a fun exercise for her. So obviously I'm happy for her because there was like, I could see the wheels moving on her a little bit. And, you know, I the same sort of things happened for me when I first started going to improv classes. And the best thing about it, I was like, do you know anybody in the class? She was like, no. I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah, that makes it easier.
Especially as a kid, you know, like your reputation's not following you from a school somewhere, you know, like it's a nice outlet. Everybody's there because they're interested in this. And it's such a supportive environment, you know, like you have to say yes, you know, in order to get good. So I'm happy about that, you know.
Cool.
So, you know.
If you're happy, we're happy.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so soon enough, she and I will be playing Putin together.
Yeah.
So.
You know? What are you doing tonight? You don't want to go out with your friends? You don't want to play Putin anymore? Remember when we were young and we'd play Putin, you know, and watch movies?
Did yishkatas.
You know, I told you about the yishkata.
We perfected the yishkata.
Now you just want to go out and hang out with your friends at the mall.
How is yishkata spelled?
We can make it up right now. Y-I-S-H-Z. Yish.
C-Y-Z-Z.
K-A-T-A.
Backward Z.
Yishkata.
Upside down thing.
I don't know. That's, yeah, right. That's, well, this is a survey for our listeners,
Russian
folks.
Russian O, what a line.
If you come up
it.
With a suggestion for how we should properly spell Yishkata in the ethos of this program.
Submit it.
Submit it on our Facebook wall.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know what else is a great idea? We have to do a commercial break.
Okay.
So there will be more Hoolies Hoolie when we return.
Folks, if you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James Jim McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits from construction accidents. Mr. McGing has a long history of representing first responders and formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He served as an assistant state's attorney and was legal counsel to the Sheriff of Cook County. As a judge, Jim McGing has presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So, don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm. 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. Call Jim McGing today at 773-467-8000. Once again, 773-467-8000.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hang in there! We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned!
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, where you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Get some McCann's. Welcome back. Fourth quarter of the program.
Yeah, right into it here.
And it's been a wacky one. Do they ever make sense? Not really.
Never!
But does life make sense?
No.
No.
Not in the land of COVID.
Certainly not in the land of COVID.
Thank you, wise old Irishman.
Yes.
Not in the land of COVID.
Uh-huh.
And he fades back into the woods.
Right. See ya. He was right.
Yeah. Man, that guy was smart.
Yep. Did you just see a wise old Irish man in the woods?
Did you just see Jerry the Woodsman?
We've been looking for him. His name is Jerry. He lives in the Seattle area. He's a good friend of Kaczynski's. There's nothing Irish about him. Or genuine or nice or mean.
Or mean. He's very friendly. He's
not, this man's not mean. He's pure evil.
He's pure friend.
Pure.
He's pure evil. Friendliness.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome back.
Yeah, sure.
Went down a weird tangent there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a weird thing happen to me this week.
Again?
Well, I always have. Weirdness follows me. And I decide that these are the things I want.
It grows on you.
It does. It's like a fungus. Thank God for it, right? Wild imagination. I'm sure my kids are learning great things by watching me do Putin in the mirror.
So what would weird happen to you now?
Oh, I got a Facebook message the other day. Like, you ever get a Facebook message from a guy that, like, maybe you worked with and you haven't seen him in, like, 10 years, right?
Yeah.
What's up, bro? Long time. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a person that I kind of wrote off, like, I'll never see that guy again. You know?
Yeah.
Right. I forgot that I was even Facebook friends with him, right?
Okay.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Hey, buddy. You know? Like, hope you're well. You know?
Yeah. Gone.
Thanks, you know? And you know right away that, like, they want something.
What's up? Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, hey, listen, and, you know, where are you working these days? You know, they're trying to get it out of me. I'm like, oh, well, I have a radio show. I have this thing, so I'm doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, do you know these guys at this place? Do you think you'd put a recommendation in for me? And
nope.
he was boys with, like, a guy that, like, you know, ultimately canned me, right?
Okay.
And I felt slighted a little bit by it. And so I was like, you know, and then he came out with, like, hey, you were right. This guy slighted me, too. Like, it happened eventually, you know. So I just want to reach out and apologize. But still, would you give me a recommendation, you know? And it put me in kind of a weird spot, you know. Like, and we talk about having sort of a forgiveness soul in mind, right?
Yes.
And I was like, all right, what do I do here, you know?
Did you think, what would Jesus do?
Yes, I did, Clay.
What would Jerry do?
What Jerry do? Anyway.
You should have wrote back. You'll have to give me a few days. I have to consult and see what Jerry did.
Like, you know what? About a year ago, I wanted to put a yishkata on you.
But, you're lucky you're around.
You're
still
lucky you're around, sir.
Yeah.
You're lucky you don't got fish in your pants right now.
Yeah. Right. And I'm hockey styling you with some fresh lake water fish up in your pants, dude. Yishkata. I learned it from Putin.
Anyway, I'll get back to you.
Anyway. No, I mean, I was like, all right, dude, I'll pay for it. I don't
care.
You
should have said,
don't make me look out to be a jerk with these guys, but, you know, sure. I'll, you know, since
you're... Pay for it.
No, basically, he was like, hey, I already applied for this gig, so, like, if
So good luck.
You know, if one of the can I do you know anybody there? I saw that you know somebody there. He must have looked at my LinkedIn and then reached out to me on Facebook, right?
Sure.
Kind of just diversion tactic, like, hey, we're still buddies, we're friends on Facebook, we're business acquaintances on LinkedIn.
He looked at your life and jobs.
He looked at my life and jobs and he said, you know what? I gotta get more familiar than this. It's just
you should have said
not enough.
Politely yeah.
Too formal.
Me recommending you will probably hurt your chances of getting this job.
I thought about that.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you want my recommendation.
Well, no, these guys like me. I'm friends
with
these guys.
It's not going to make the needle move either way.
But I've never done business with any of those guys. So,
can we have all these people's first and last names?
No.
Just seeing if you're on your toes.
Yeah. Anyway, I paid it for it. I was like, yeah, whatever, dude. See ya. Bye.
Paid for it.
You should have bought us some chicken.
What'd you say?
You should have just bought him some chicken instead.
Well, he did reveal one thing to me. I can't say it on the air, but he revealed something in the message that was like shocking to me, right?
Oh.
Where I was like, oh, I was right.
Oh, that was his opener.
No, it was like two paragraphs in, but it was something that I kind of suspected and was paranoid and nervous about while I was working there. And I thought that there was a more sinister side of the company that was actually being portrayed to me. And
ooh.
So
it sounds like an American Greed episode.
It kind of was, you know, but as I was there, all of a sudden I was like, oh, what? And I did question it a few times and I was zip pretty much after I started questioning that kind of stuff. But then it came out, this guy came out to me that was like, yeah, that was going on. And, you know, people looked into that or whatever. And I was like, whoa. So I felt it was kind of a blessing in disguise after learning that from that message that he sent me. You know, I was like, huh. You know,
well, I lucked out.
Right. Glad I didn't hang around, you know.
Yeah,
right.
You got out of Putin's grasp.
I got out of Putin's grasp, exactly.
That's right.
You know, no more yishkatas for me.
That's right.
But that's why I was like, all right, pay for it, you know. That's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
That he brought it up, you know, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
You got to get off the internet.
I got to
get off of it. Me too.
Cancel all your stuff.
I heard an interesting, you know, like you ever,
for real.
Yeah.
I had an interesting, a buddy that was on the fishing trip with us and it was.
You had an interesting buddy?
It was an interesting, like, you know how when you're sometimes.
Everyone should around
a group of people and you know some people, but you don't know everybody, but like you're trying to make everyone feel comfortable and you're making little small talk, you know?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And it kind of reminded me of like the scene in Stripes. When everyone's like in the barracks, and then you know, like, hi, I'm Dewey Oxberger, you know.
Yeah, right.
So like
introducing themselves.
Yeah, right. But anyways, like we're already acquainted with each other a little bit, but everyone's just kind of sitting there and like, right. And it was cold out, and we're like, we're just ate breakfast, and we're like, kind of all sitting there, and you know, guys are having their morning smokes, their morning coffee to trigger their number two for them, you know, so they don't have to worry about.
Yes.
Anyways, he's like, hey, you know, I got this. I moved to Indiana. You know, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. And there's like six of us listening to this, you know, and we're like, so what's up? Like, I think I may have brought it up, but he's like, so you moved to Indiana? And he's like, yeah, you know, like a painting contractor that I work for, you know, decided to start a business up there. You know, he's like, I'm single, I'm not married, the cost of living's cheaper. I was like, cool, I'll check this out, right?
Right.
So we're in Wisconsin, so you're kind of trying to feel the Wisconsin vibe a little bit. You know, he's like, hey, do you guys, like, you know, this lady told me, because I think he might live in, like, Lafayette, or, like, you know, there's names like LaPointe, is there a LaPointe? I don't know.
LaPorte,
Lafayette, like, there's French names, right?
Yeah.
So there was, like, you know, a lot of French that settled in Indiana, and he's like, do you know what a Hoosier is? I always wondered what a Hoosier was.
And the guy, like, the guy who just moved to Indiana.
Yeah, and we're like, yeah, and he's like, some lady told me that, because like all the French settled there, you know, when a lot of salesmen and people would go door to door in the, you know, early 1900s or, you know, maybe even 1800s, whatever.
Right.
They would always say in the French accent, who's there? Who's there? Like to mean who's there?
Oh. Who's
there?
So
they said that's where the term Hoosier came from. Right.
Wow.
And of course, everybody there's like, all right, dude, wait a minute, right?
Yeah.
So one person finally fact checks this. Like, we're laughing.
It ain't true.
It is not true.
No way.
No. It's after an Indian meaning for corn. Okay, that's what Hoosier is. All right.
Get it straight.
I was just like, but we were laughing our butt off up there because we were like, there's always stories like that permeate. And
you all remember the fishing trip where the Hoosier joke lingered for a couple days? That was a great one.
But I will actually tell that to somebody, like, a Hoosier is because of the French, and see if they get called out. Like, because I felt bad. I'm like, she set you up to get called out by somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So that might have been one of the highlights of the fishing trip.
Right? Okay, the Hoosier mishap.
The Hoosier joke. Yeah, man.
Well, folks, if you've enjoyed that story, you can find more of them if you go to hibernianradio.org. You can find all the archives of our show. Or you can go to iTunes and search for us there. I want to thank our sponsors once again.
That's right.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Oh, yeah.
Personal injury attorney Jim. Second time I did that tonight. Personal injury attorney Jim McGinn.
There you go.
Here in Chicago. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. That's Beverly, the Beverly location and the Bridgeport location here in Chicago. Fox's Beverly Pizza. They have that location and out in Orland as well.
Yep.
And Tullamore Dew.
Tullamore Dew Irish.
And Sheehy and Sons Funeral.
Yeah.
Till next week, folks. It's been fun.
Bye.